Unsere Empfehlung für deinen Podcast? Frisches Obst und knackiges Gemüse von Aldi. Immer günstig und natürlich mit dem Aldi-Tiefpreisversprechen. Zum Beispiel knackiges Gemüse, saftiges Obst, frische Backwaren. Kurz gesagt, mehr Frische für alle. Entdecke jetzt viele weitere Angebote zum Tiefpreis in deiner Aldi-Nord-Filiale. Und weiter geht's. Einfach lauschen und genießen. Aldi. Gutes für alle.
Everybody want to know what I would do if I didn't win. I guess we'll never know.
So keep it locked. I don't get enough of it. Jesus just rose again.
Listen to the kids.
Welcome to Watching the Throne. My name is Chris Lambert, and today we are joined by a legend who has been making hip-hop history for 4 decades. On the mic and with the pen, from A Tribe Called Quest to songs like Spaceship, to Say You Will, to Hurricane, I'm talking about Consequence.
Yo.
thanks for being here today.
Thanks for having me, man.
So the other day on Twitter, you posted a clip from Genius Part 2 that shows Jamie Foxx and Ye in the studio starting to put together the feature intro to Slow Jams. And you said, this clip shows how Jamie Foxx ended up doing the feature, but which podcast should I go on to tell the story of how the beat was made? And you were generous enough to select us, which was very nice of you. So thank you.
Try to keep it ground level. You know what I mean? you know, these stories, in my estimation, are like really for the fans. You know, for the fans that started with us, and obviously for some of the newer fans that weren't around for the beginning architectural work of what all that you see in the public.
Yeah.
So, when I sent that tweet out, my thought process when I even seen the clip, because, you know, I didn't get any preview links or anything, which I should have got, being that I'm in it.
Yeah.
A lot. But be that as it may, you know what I mean? So I'm watching the joint, and, you know, my overall perspective of the documentary is, you know, I don't have an issue with anything that's in it. I do have a, you know, and obviously it's TV. So TV, when you make a documentary, just like, you know, A Tribe Called Quest had a documentary that Michael Rappaport directed. You know, there's always, with television, a directive of gearing toward the narrative. So people who are watching the piece have something to follow from beginning to end. You know, they teach you that in school, like, all stories have a beginning, a middle, a conflict, a climax, and a resolution, you know? So the thing is, this story is so important, though. All of it, the whole journey is important because of the level and the impact that Kanye's had on the earth as we know it. Just, you know,
yeah.
Real story. I mean, just... So the story of how the beat was made for me is really important because, you know, I was, it was probably one of the funniest and most impactful accidents, you know, that could have happened. So Kanye, would come pick me up from Queens. I didn't have a car at the time. You know, he had just got the G5. in the documentary, and before that, he and I used to do a lot of creative think tanking in his car. So before that, he had a ML, he had the baby mama Benz G, he had a black ML 320 Benz G. So if you know, for people who are really into good music, they probably seen a clip that's online, that's probably how the documentary kind of got the interest. Like Cootie and Chike gave a clip to Complex of me and Kanye freestyling in the car. So I'm in the backseat because Cootie's in the front filming. And so he's filming Kanye while he's driving, he's rapping, then he films me in the back. So we would do a lot of the, like I said, the before there was ever an Atlanta football, before there was Hawaii, before there was the Mercer for Watch the Throne, it was the Baby Mama G for the College Dropout and for Get Well Soon the mixtape and for the Cons Value One All Sales Final. So, you know, the segue in. So once he got the G5, he came to Queens, came pick me up. And, you know, I would often stay with Kanye for days at a time because he lived in New Jersey. So the first, into the documentary, the first time you see me and him together in the documentary, that's the crib in Newark. Then, you know, he was hustling, doing the beats, boom, 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 quarterback, moved to Hoboken. That's where the G5, they don't show that part, they don't show when he moved, but that was a big thing. Miss West came out to New York, me, him, and Miss West, moved everything. I think maybe a couple other people, but I know we moved, I helped them move to Hoboken, you know what I mean? So, and then he got the G5, so he comes to pick me up, so we in the car, and I'm kind of going through some drama. Like, I'm dealing with a female friend of mine. She got three kids, and the youngest of the three kids, for some reason, we just, you know, just caught a vibe. I didn't have any children at the time, so me and her had really just like started connecting. I started taking the store, you know, just, you know, look like an uncle or whatever the case is, or you know, but in the result of me doing that, me and my female friend, we started catching feelings for each other. You know, even one night we, you know, almost 1, 2, and 3, you know what I mean? So there was starting to be like circulating stories about what was going on with me and her. And it got back to her children's father, God bless the dead, it's my man too. So it was real awkward, you know what I mean? And so I'm explaining everything to Kanye in the car, like, yo, you know, shorty, and then da-da-da-da, brought the kid now. You know what I mean? And he like, yo, because he's dying when I'm telling him. So he's like, yo, you know what I mean? Yo, honestly, you need to put that on this song. So he tells me to do this. I wound up going to his crib that night. We did this.
Yo, that nigga went to the bathroom. Yo, plug this shit up, man. Hurry up, man. This shit up real quick, man. I'll get this shit up, man. Word up, man. Yo, hello, everybody. Everybody in the hood, I'd like to introduce myself because I feel it's the appropriate time to introduce myself because this nigga called to the bathroom. Hi, my name is the Baby Pops. That's me. I'm the Baby Pops. I'm the one. Those my kids that nigga told him about. Yeah, those my kids. You ever hear this nigga told some slick shit about some kids or something? That my kids. I'm daddy, nigga. Me, nigga, I'm daddy. Me, funny boy.
So, that goes on for about 5 minutes, right? So, we in the crib dying, right? And as soon as I finish doing all that, he's literally, it comes to his head to loop the Luther Vandross joint. And that's how we end up getting what is now known as Slow Jams.
Whoa.
Let's play Slow Jams for a second.
Saying, I was talking to the girls, you know, and we don't put enough emphasis on the ladies sometimes. You know, I was talking to this girl, she was talking about the music all fast in the club. You know, she got to drink water because she thirsty. She done danced like 9,200 songs back to back, but ain't nobody, you know, really try to find out what she feeling, like how she feel. You know what she told me?
Are you gonna
check it out, this is what she said. She said, oh, she said she wants some Marvin Gaye. Some Luther Vandross, a little Anita, but definitely set this party on right. She said she wants some ready for the world, some new
friends you cool with, I'ma bring the cool whip. Then I want you to strip. But here's another thing, once again.
Yeah.
Go back to the ball. You know what I mean? Which they don't, you know, they don't magnify the importance to the car. Now, Slow Jams was, even in production style, it had got to that because of this record. Like, this is the one that kind of was like the testing ground of that bounce with the Congos. Joint called Champions off of Dame Dash compilation.
Yeah.
Well, if these niggas thought about they self for a change, then maybe they could finally figure out how to get they self some change. I done seen jealousy make niggas do 10 terrible things.
So yeah, that was the prelude to that two hit for Slow Jams or whatever, you know what I mean? So and then obviously after that, he gave Twitter overnight celebrity, so kind of stayed in that house with them joints or whatever. And but Slow Jams is a monster moment for everybody of good music, whether they know it or not.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about this in our initial phone call, but it's like me growing up in a small town of 5,000 people in Ohio. I wasn't necessarily hearing Through the Wire when Through the Wire like broke and started getting all its play, but I heard Slow Jams. Like, Slow Jams was getting played on our radio stations. Like, Slow Jams was a song that like kids had blasting from the car. It was just like, wow, what is this? I've never heard anything like this.
Well, the other half of the Slow Jam story is obviously Twisters on it.
Oh yeah.
So what wound up happening was Twista had signed to Atlantic via Rockefeller, you know, so like basically like Rockefeller put the stamp on him and were furnishing him through Atlantic. But Twista had a budget. So what happened was G. Robinson wound up doing a cross pollination with the record so that it was Twista's single, but it would appear on Kanye's album. So Atlantic really took the ball and ran with it as far as like Slow Jam with the radio. So then Rockefeller wound up having to spin back. Like, the resistance was not, it's not, you know, that's, it's not like made up when it's presented in the doc that, you know, he was having issues at the label. Like, he had issues at the label to the point where, you know, like Slow Jams, like you said, you heard Slow Jams where you in your market.
Yeah.
Right. Now in New York, Through the Wire has, you know, I told the story, you know, number one, Kanye getting on schedule, even at the Rock, you know, we definitely, you know, have to always tip our hat to DJ Enough. You know, DJ Enough started playing the Good, the Bad, and the Ugly off of our mixtapes. You know, the mixtapes aren't included.
Mm-mm.
You Kanye take the picture for the cover of Get Well Soon, but that he actually used that picture. I think that was from like a magazine shoot, but he made it the mixtape cover. The mixtapes is what got everything in motion. Cause at that time, the like G-Unit was on fire from the mixtapes. Dipset was on fire. Everybody was on fire, had mixtapes out. So yeah. My thing was like, the only way I knew I would be able to get back on in rap was do a mixtape, because I wasn't going to get another record deal just off the cuff, because I had already been out in Tribe. So one of the things that was between me and Ye was like, I was like, yo, you know what I'm saying? Like, because he was supposed to pay me for a feature anyway. So I was like, yo, just let me get that bread. I'm gonna put my first mixtape out. You know what I'm saying? So I wound up putting, so once again, that's where that Baby Pop joint is, the skit off of my first mixtape. So the first single off my mixtape is The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. It wound up on Don't Quit Your Day Job too, because we didn't want to, but what got me back on the radio was The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. And Kanye had the second verse. It wasn't the version I have with the third verse that's on my debut album.
Okay.
So DJ Enough is playing, it's not even mixed. He's playing it out of Kanye's, the version that we bounced out from Kanye's 1880. So he's playing it every day on the radio. Then the accident happens simultaneously. Then he leaks through the wire and presses it up himself. We white labeled it. Like, it's a lot that kind of got left out of the documentary. Like I said, for the sake of narrative, I definitely don't think that part of it, especially what I'm speaking of right now, was venomous at all. I just think that if you're telling, you know, I've been on TV, I've been on VH1. So yeah. You have a condensed amount of time to lay out a narrative. But there's some of these things that are so important that even if you don't see it on the doc, you got to hear about it, because it was like literally the fabric that sewed the quilt together. You know what I mean? So, So there was actually a scenario, you know, not even a scenario, but so when Slow Jams was starting to blow up, like you're saying, Your Town and boom, 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 you know, there's a little bit of a tug of war between us and Twista Camp over the record. Like, we, you know, Kanye doing, you know, Kanye, like, it's mine. Twista, like, what you mean? I'm paying for the video. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It never got dumb, but it was like definitely like some feelings, you know what I'm saying? Mm. Because you know, and if you looked at it from both angles, you can understand why. And I just think, you know, eventually it was just something that eventually just had to just be, you know, just be a draw, I guess, so to speak. You know what I mean? Because, you know, then from there, once Slow Jam kind of ran its course, you know, because that's what a hit record does. Like, you know, record like Slow Jams, which there are not a lot of records like Slow Jams, to be honest. I just want to put it out there. So, and I'm not like, there's not, you don't just get one of those. So you don't just get a record that got people chasing you. Like, Slow Jams had fans chasing us. It was crazy. We was going to like colleges and just to perform it, and it was like, yo, we was getting chased up out of there by the chicks. Like, it was it was serious, because the thing is, it's so crazy when it goes from no to yes.
Yeah.
And then that's the hell yeah, you know what I'm saying? So I mean, for us, it was never no. It was always just keep pushing. We was always pushing to do it. You know what I mean? So it was like, just turn this door, turn this door, turn this door. It got to be here. It's here. It's here. I know it's here. You know what I'm saying? And then, you know, eventually, like I said, once that cross-pollination happened, and then, you know, Rockefeller, you know, eventually definitely put the whole muscle behind it. And then that's, you know, by the time we get the All Falls Down, it's the superstar look.
Yeah, I could just imagine, especially, you know, we see a good amount of what 2002 was like. And as you're saying, not kind of the mixtape period, not, you get an idea that he's working on the album, but you don't quite see all of the mixtape, all the other music y'all are like putting together and releasing, trying to just like catch a spark and get on. But it must have been pretty wild, as you're saying, when the no's turned to yeses, when those locked doors turn to open doors, and it's just, you've been grinding for that. But at the same time, what a dynamic change in like energy in terms of just last month, we're like sitting around in Newark, and now this month we're on a college campus and being chased away to the next like
year.
Yeah.
We in Newark. Next year, we're in Hoboken. The year after that, then we had a college campus. That's the thing with the doc. It looked like you go in 3 weeks, we popping. It ain't. it's. Listen, I got locked up in the midst of all that hustling. Kanye come to me like, yo, I feel like Puff talking to Big. You gotta put that shit down.
Oh man,
I mean, give me something to put it down for. You know what I'm saying? Cause yo, bro, I'm not just, you know, a turkey and cheese and a Snapple ain't gonna do it, bro.
No, yeah, that's it is crazy to think about because it is a 3 year period, like 2002, 2003 into 2004. It just kind of gets condensed down and yet still feels like such a long time, even though it's only kind of skimming over a lot of the highlights of that period.
Yeah, now don't get me wrong, it's still an expedited process.
Yeah.
In consideration, like you, me and Kanye meet January 2002, college dropout drops February 2004. So it's 2 years and then you platinum, right? So, you know, it's still an expedited. I mean, look at guys like Griselda. They got the spotlight when they was in their 30s.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So really, I mean, we linked up. I mean, prior to that, I wasn't involved. I know when me and him linked up, 2 years and we was out. You know what I'm saying? Being real. You know what I mean? I mean, you know, because even if you think about, like, you know, I definitely don't take nothing away from anybody who's in a documentary, you know, but some of the people that you're seeing, it's more moral support. They're not even on the college dropout.
Yeah.
Right, they did certainly not on late registration, because once he got the late registration, you could kiss his ass. I mean, I'm just, you know what, yeah. I mean, I mean, because in fairness, right, you might only, somebody might only get a slow jams. Do you get gold digger after that?
Yeah.
And heard him say,
yeah.
You hitting a real creative nerve at that point.
Man, and good from that to stronger. Jeez. It's just, what a run.
I mean, literally, you know, he and I bounced the verbiage to the chorus to Can't Tell Me Nothing in Miami in a drugstore and came up with it. Oh, you know what, man, I'm saying? So, you know, I mean, we caught all those nights at, and like you seen at that apartment, because that was the first time, you know, that was the first time I like really, when you see me in a documentary, I just had met all of those individuals that day, right? Mm-hmm. So this is like my third or fourth time at Ye Crib. So even if you see it, like I kind of like slide past the camera, like, yo, this is what y'all doing. Me and him doing business. I don't know y'all like that. But y'all can go ahead. I'm going to just slide to the back. You know what I'm saying? So that's why you see homie Old School Ice Green like, yo, it's Astro Mountain Condo. I'm like, yo, come over here. Because I didn't really come there for that in particular. You know what I'm saying? What I came for is what you see later.
Yep. Well, what's fascinating too, like you coming in and saying, you know, you didn't know what was going on before. You came in 2 years later, platinum. One of the interesting things about the doc, and I've seen part three, I got to do a little bit of the like the press preview stuff. Right. And it starts getting into a lot of the themes of like this isn't just like Ye's story, but a story about like parents raising kids and the inspiration that kids get from parents. And how this doesn't have to just be Ye's story. It can be anyone's story as long as they're having people that kind of like guide, yeah, but, mentor, open doors.
Yeah, and, but I'm sorry, but you got the public thinking as Ye's story.
Yeah, right. For so then, like
So for all intents and purposes, you know, I mean, like I said, TV is about a narrative and creating a story. So what can I say? Can I be mad at that? I don't know. But I think for like, you know, the sake of the journey, you know, there's so much. Maybe I don't know. I don't know where it goes from here. But you know, I haven't seen. I didn't get a press link, so I haven't seen three. I gotta wait till Wednesday. Like,
yeah.
Bye.
Sure. I was just thinking that it's not just parents in a way. It's like mentors, people with knowledge that help, and just like the expertise that you had from your background, the work that you did with Tribe, like being able to come in and be somebody that's like, I've seen how it's done. I've been part of how it's done. And yeah, I'm going to help kind of drive us towards this finish line was probably a huge help.
And I really had to do that without trying to step on his toes.
Yeah.
So, you know, because he was in a position where he had the bread at the time, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, I don't want to oversell my advice or tutelage, because I got to make it work for me too. You know what I'm saying? So I'm not going like, yo, you need to do this way. You know, I remember he did a show at SOBs, the first show he did at SOBs, not the one that's the famous show, you know, and, you know, it's ironic that he said the quality stuff on Drink Champs, because I was like, the first show was kind of like, it was kind of like a Black Star show, like two girls singing background, and it was like, Can't They Cloth Wrapped and all that. And he did a ramp in 2003 or 2003. And he's upset about that. And I was like, you know, when he got off stage, like, what you think? I was like, yo, look, I'll just be honest with you. You could just ask me to just do it with you next time. It, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, perform with Tribe, like, they are one of the best performing groups of all time. I really do know how to perform. And literally the next time he does SOBs is me on stage with him at GLC, and it goes all the way up. And from there, I wound up touring with him for probably 3-4 years before my album came out. You know what I'm saying? And I have been on every tour after that, just from a expertise standpoint, just, you know. So, you know, I mean, once again, you know, there's nothing wrong with happy accidents, you know what I mean? So, you know, and everything. And I think the great thing about our learning curves is that they did teach us so much, you know, and they were valuable lessons that we were able to carry over and make turn into successful endeavors later. So, you know, so good.
I mean, it really does seem like a lot of the forced individuality of putting things together, rather than having the label initially just fawning over every single thing, like hand-holding through everything, has really created a approach that has stayed kind of tried and true all the way up to the present day of just,
absolutely,
I'm going to go do this on my own. Like, I'll get a hotel. We're recording in there. We're doing things like,
I'll get a movie warehouse. Like, there's no, you know, the imagination, you know, and that was definitely a thing that Kanye helped me with, just being able to unlock thoughts and unlock imagination and just unlock what's inside of you. I think that was one of the things that I definitely received in our friendship and, you know, and all that we've done. Like, he just was able to help me unlock who maybe I had tucked away after being in Tribe, you know, just the whole energy, the whole thing that I needed, you know what I mean, just to succeed and just be a creative in this game and stay the course, you know, there's so many. Think about my situation for a second, like, there's so many guys now, you know, mind you, with, you know, Tribe has definitely received a blessing. You know, we nominated for this year to be inducted in this year's class of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, which is, you know, obviously incredible. It's a once in a lifetime feat, even to get nominated, you know what I mean? You know, and so with me having like two albums within that catalog is just, you know, it's priceless, you know. But with that being said, you know, and there's many groups from that time period that, you know, left a mark on hip hop, but there's in order to be successful, like there's you gotta unlock a different chamber in yourself, you know, that's not the surface, you know, like you gotta be able to go to where denial is not an option. And some people can do that, some people just can't.
That's the no's that you get throughout like a career, even after you've had success, can be very just like, wait, we did this and we're still getting no's at this point.
You only the last game.
Yeah. Which is a wild thing. But at the same time, if you have
game we play.
Yeah. Right.
Game we play. Game we choose to play. Nobody put a gun in our head and made us do anything. It's what we choose to do. It's the choice you make, game you play. So the rules are the rules. You know what I mean? In some instances there are no rules. It's win or lose. You know? So
yeah, it feels like there's a structure in place, but really like at the end of the day, if you can find a way to win, you find a way to win. And sometimes that means going around what is the normal method of things, which you see done over the course of Genius, which you see Ye still kind of doing now with the stem player stadium stuff. It's pretty wild to see.
Right. Well, sometimes I got to get wild.
Was there with the distance between the first Tribe album you were on, just to shift gears, the question kind of came to me, and the second Tribe album you were on, the recent one, was there a difference in just like feeling and approach with everything that you had learned over the years between the albums?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, with the final album, we got it from here. Thank you for your service. Well, obviously, you know, I had more input. I think I had more input with the last one than I did. I think I had more wisdom to offer the last go around prior to me being brought into the group. Because kind of being brought into the group, you know, I was, you know, I'm on eight joints, so I definitely contributed from creating. I didn't have a lot of, you know, it's when you don't have wisdom, it's not, you know, my energy was just youth, you know. Where this album was more, you know, I had Kanye. I brought Kanye in for the Killing Season.
Yeah.
I not only did the raps I did, I actually helped write with Anderson .Paak for Moving Backwards. So it was like I had a different artillery than the first go around. And I was able to bring that to the table in addition to later on running their merch initiative for a year and a half and touring. It was just a lot. It was a different animal this last go around.
Which seems like pretty cool just to have like that full circle moment of, as you're saying, being like the youthful one stepping in, having that energy, getting to see like the elder members do their thing, and then getting to come in and like be that guy on that album.
Right. And then so even with this last album, I mean, initially I was just like, I didn't really want to rhyme on more than two joints. Cause I was like, I was apprehensive about doing it, to be honest. But I did feel with Beach Rhymes in Life that because people didn't really understand the behind the scenes dynamic of what was going on with the group and how I even got in the group, they kind of, I was like inadvertently the fall guy for certain instances. Like, well, Fife and Tip aren't vibe in the same way they did on Midnight Marauders. It's got to be his fault. Why is he even? It was like, you know, like I was a solo artist, and I had a deal on the table that Q-Tip had broken with Sylvia Rome, because he did that because Puff wanted to sign me when he had just Biggie and Craig Mack. Like, Tip, one of my records, Puff was like, oh yeah, this is, I'll sign him. Let me get him. And so Tip, I guess in his mind, he had a deal on the table with Sylvia Rowan, a production deal. Like, eventually he goes on to sign me, actually signed Rod Digger, and then gave her contract to Busta to put her in flip mode. It's because Tribe had broken up after the Love Movement. So he kind of was, you know, it's funny because he was 25, 26, but he had been in the industry for like 18, since he was 18. Beneath Apple Bum came out, I think, when he was 18 or whatever the case is. So, you know, you go through these, looking back at it, it probably could have, certain things could have got done a lot better, but maybe in the moment, because there was no inclination that, hey, at 25 years later, there's a Netflix movie out about me leaving Tribe and meeting a young Kanye West and he becoming a global superstar later. Think about it like that. You know what I'm saying? Because definitely, you know, Caduce said it at SOBs, like, yo, if it wasn't for Tribe, we don't know what would have happened, to be honest. If me and Ye don't meet, I think he got enough ambition, obviously, to do anything, but there's just specific things that he and our relationship brought about, that, you know, became what the world loves. You know, I mean, I'm not saying nothing that's a secret. He said it. I mean, you know, that's why, you know, I mean, if you have followed us, you know how close we've been over the years.
Absolutely. Was there a moment in the, like, Genius Part 1 or Part 2 that you were saying, you're like, oh, I forgot about that. Like, that's crazy. Like, anything, or I didn't know about that, that kind of surprised you?
I pretty much remembered everything. I mean, I think in Part 2, when we were at the Pay the Fool conference, I remember the shirt, but I was like, I forgot I was there. You know what I'm saying? No, 100%. I forgot I was there when he signed his deal. I'm in the room with Austin Finley. I got the gray headband on. That's me, I think JB and Ice Gray. Us three went with him to sign the deal. So I forgot about that. That was that was a big moment. You know what I'm saying? I'm telling you, like, it's funny because, it is the truth of the truth. It is what it is. You know what I'm saying? I've gone on record and told everybody, whoever did any contribution or writing, like, you could send me a Father's Day card whenever you feel like it.
Right. I like that. Well, speaking of contributions and writing, has the recent process with albums like Ye and Donda been similar to back in the day, or are there big kind of changes to how it goes?
It's always like a core thing to it, but I mean, obviously with more resources, you know, there's going to be alterations, you know what I mean? So, you know, everything is, you know, there's similarities, there's parallels always, but there's every experience is unique within itself.
Yeah. That makes sense. Especially, I'm sure location plays like a big a big difference in some of the vibe. And yeah.
Exactly. So definitely you're gonna get, if you work in Hawaii or 808s and you work in Wyoming for the Ye in Jackson Hole for the Ye project, there's gonna be two different vibes. I mean, it's definitely a different vibe. A dolphin and a fox running down a block is two different vibes. Dolphin is embedded. Fox is like, oh shit. You know what I mean? So
yeah,
you might be, you know, so yeah, so yeah, you might say you will probably come from petting a dolphin. All these hoes on Tristan, all these hoes on Tristan Mingle. We got Tristan say, because let me hurry up and drop some shit, because that's time to go. When I start hearing Moose's 3 in the morning, yeah, my nigga, it's time to hit me. I nigga head back.
Yeah. I'm sure. Okay. I'm sure Wyoming was literally wild in very different ways in terms of just energy and atmosphere. And then you think about like Donda, and just between the first listening party after the second, you just get like the soccer stadium, or like the whole soccer game. Like, oh man. Are there any other like college dropout stories that you've wanted to tell while we have you here?
Yeah, well, I actually played this record. Should have, I mean, this wound up on my mixtape Take Me to the Cleaners, but this easily could have ended up on College Dropout. This is actually the first record that me, Kanye, and John Legend did together. It's called Getting Out the Game. I'll play.
You know what I'm saying? He was doing shit motherfuckers weren't doing, making soul shit. I grew up on soul. I was eating celery and soul food at a young age. You know what I'm saying? Collard greens and all that shit. So I could really appreciate what Kanye West do. He done made shit I could step to. I'm an old motherfucker that like to step. This nigga make beats I can step to. So I like that shit.
Yeah, I'm really thinking about getting at the game, dog. Look, it's only one girl on my agenda.
You talking about Brenda?
No, I'm talking about Linda from last September. And Linda Lovelace, like Linda Lovelace, love faces. She like Mace, but she love face. And I know that Linda was a hip-hop head. And I know that Linda gave hip-hop head. But I feel like a converter, cause I ain't here to hurt her, man. And she was messing with me when I was still a Burger King. She ain't hopping my bed cause of the whips and cream. Cause when I had her in bed, I had whipped cream. Shakespearean Midsummer Night Dream. I unzip things and pull out big things. They was flashing green. She was like, ching, got him. But she know
what. Man, yeah, that got, especially like you talk about that being on College Dropout. I just think about that, like going from Family Business to that to Last Call would be such like a pretty run of songs.
Yeah, I think we had to pick one. I think Ye had to pick one at the time. We had a lot of records, but you know, he definitely wanted to have GLC on an album, and because Spaceship was originally GLC record, featuring Kanye. Like this, it was GLC's record. Kanye did the chorus. GLC asked me to be on it, so I did my verse. Then Ye was like, "Oh nah, this shit ill." He wrote his verse, and then so. Cause originally the good, like on the handwritten notebook joint that we use for the flyer.
Oh yeah.
The good, it says good, bad, ugly. The good, the bad, ugly is supposed to be on the College Dropout.
Yeah.
So, cause you know, he loved it. It helped break, you know, so we're going to put that on the College Dropout. But then I did Spaceship, and then it was like, Spaceship came out crazy, and Tony Williams added his part. That's why I don't really know in the documentary why they had, I love Tari, but it didn't really make sense to me why she was in the studio singing on Spaceship when they didn't keep the vocals. You know what I'm saying? She had a great feature on another record called My Way that I loved. And that was another record that I thought, it was like three records that I thought, that I understand why they didn't go on there, but I love them. I wish they would have been on some, which was, I actually put Getting Out the Game on Take Them to the Cleaners. But aside from that, was My Way and Magic Man. Mm. It was a joint. Magic Man was like, "And got the magic. She got the world in his hand. World in his hand. I am the magic man. You got the world in his hand." That shit was fire. That shit was fire. Them two shits was crazy. But you know, that's how it go. But Spaceship, definitely was originally a GLC joint. You know what I mean? So, you know, but it's, you know, obviously a lot of people's top top three when they asked about what's their favorite joints on the College Dropout. And then, you know, obviously, you know, there's, I've seen it rotate around. It's always, you know, but I, you know, the whole record, the whole album is a classic for, without a doubt.
Yeah. I always dance around between, it's like Last Call and Spaceship, I think are always in the top three for me. And then number three kind of like jumps right now. I think Never Let Me Down has kind of recently jumped into like that third position, but I'm sure it'll change at some point and probably like bounce back to Two Words, like jump two back to Slow Jams. Too. Yeah.
Two Words. I'm gonna hold you. Two Words crazy.
Oh man. It's like you mentioning like that Magic Man song. It just makes me think how many like joints there are that are unreleased, like sitting there waiting for the light of day that fans would just be like, this is crazy. This is like a top song for me.
Yeah, I think with that kind of, you know, with art, you know, there's some things, you know, some things may come out, some things were just part meant to be part of the building of the process.
Yeah.
You know, so some things should come out, some things, you know. But you always want to continuously evolve. You know, that's a big part of being an artist. It's just, you know, just challenging yourself to the contemporary. So, you know, you can live, you know, certain things do have their time period and they go from art to artifact. You know what I mean? So, you know, but for some people, that artifact is art because they never got to participate in it. And I understand that. But for the artist himself, and the, if you're an artist in the true sense of the word, then it's always re-examining the color palette, re-examining the canvas. It's always, okay, it's a continuous re-examination of where you are and what you're and how you see things.
It's I had my first novel come out in 2015, and I go back and read like the first couple pages sometimes. I'm just like, oh, I would not write any of this the way that I did back then. Right. Back then, I was just like, this is it. Yeah,
right. You could show it to somebody else, and they may be like, yo, this is amazing. You know, partially because if they're into you, you know, that's already a step towards amazement. You know. But for yourself, you might be looking at it like, you might look at it and see all the flaw in the design.
Yeah.
And just, you know, especially like a guy like Kanye, where he's like a designer, he's a designer, you know, so he looks at the design and looks at the, you know, where the present day of the design is at, where the flaw in the design is at, where the time code in the design is at. What's the future of the design itself, you know? So, you know, it's always a ever evolving cycle.
Yeah, I get that. That makes sense. And y'all have done a great job of that with the discography over time, always just each album building, changing, evolving, and doing new and terrific things. So I know the fans appreciate like your contributions both on the mic and with the pen to Ye's discography, like to hip hop. It's been a great time getting to talk to you for this interview. I've very much appreciated. I think we're at the time where you get your last call. You just have an uninterrupted amount of time to talk about anything that you want, shout out anything you want. But Cons, thank you very much for being on Watching the Throne.
Oh man, thank you for having me. I appreciate your time. Definitely want to, definitely say thank you to everybody who, you know, has seen the documentary, has, you know, taken that walk through time with us, enjoyed the journey for what you have seen. You know, it's a great piece. It's obviously having a massive impact on Netflix. So, you know, all in all, you know, I'm definitely proud of what we've been able to accomplish, you know, what I've been able to accomplish individually, what I've been able to accomplish with my, you know, with the guys that, you know, that I call my colleagues, my friends, my brothers, et cetera, you know what I mean? So, you know, and I'm happy to say here that my new album will be out very soon. Nice Doing Business With You. And the first single is called Bloodstain, and it's produced by Kanye West. So that'll be March is tomorrow. So we're looking at the black on diamond joint. Time short, fellas.
Awesome. Well, cheers.
Thank you very much for having me. Let's talk once the single drop, because I'm sure everybody gonna want to talk about that joint. I ain't the guy to get out here and do too much to him, but this is the heart, the toughest beat. That's all I'm gonna say. And I look forward to everybody hearing my new album. And obviously, like, once again, Bloodstain will be out in March, produced by Kanye West. Holla at somebody real, it's the Kong's full word. Yeah! La, la, la.
Me, I tell them, raise your glasses, your glasses, your glasses to the sky. This is the last call for alcohol.